and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. In today's study, we will be picking up in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9, with a message entitled, Let's Forget About Ourselves, Magnify the Lord, and Worship Him. Now let's join Pastor Dave in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9.
Scripture says, Jehovah Jireh, which means this, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord that healeth. Jehovah Nisi, which means that he's the Lord our banner. Jehovah Shalom, which means he's the Lord our peace. Jehovah Ra, which means he's the Lord our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 23, we love that psalm. That's where it comes from, Jehovah Ra. Jehovah Tiskenu, which means he's the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shema, which means the Lord's present. Jehovah Yeshua in the New Testament, which means the Lord has become our salvation, Jesus Christ. I mean, the name of, listen, hallowed be your name. Oh, well, he's my healer. He's my righteousness. He's my banner. This is who he is. No wonder why I'm getting in awe of his name. He's self-existent. He's self-eternal. He's self-sustained. He's creator God. He speaks things into existence. Absolutely. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he said, let there be light. And he said, and he spoke, and he said, and he spoke, that's Jesus Christ. This is who our God is. This is what the Bible teaches of his name. It's all that's true of God. Listen, I don't normally do this. I don't normally use notes like this. I'm doing it because I want you to hear very clearly and precisely who he is. Listen to this. All that is true of God is wrapped up in his name. You start to understand that, you're going to hallow his name in your prayer life. Hallow his name because all that is true of God is contained in his name. All that's been revealed concerning him is found in his name. God and all of his attributes, God and all that he is in and of himself. All that God is in and of himself is found in his name. All that he is in and of himself. Doesn't need anybody's help. Who he is. All that he's done and all that he's still doing even today is described and wrapped up in his name. And if we understand that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we read scriptures that tell us of his names of old, because he's the Ancient of Days, then we're very encouraged in the present. If I need healing, if I need a banner waved over me, because I'm losing in this war, it seems. If I feel so unworthy and wretched, I understand that he's my righteousness today, like he was then. I'm very encouraged by his name. This is what the scripture is supposed to do to us. There is no yin and yang to God. There is no good and bad to God. Listen, he's magnificent and holy. Do you know that holiness is the most talked about attribute of God in all of scripture? Holy. You know what holy means? Separate, distinct, unique. From anything else, there's no one else, nothing else like it. He's holy. Amazing to me. Different than us. So different than us. God is nothing like us. His ways are high above ours. His thoughts are high above our thoughts. He's always, only, continually good when you understand that he's holy God. And when you understand that, you want to worship him and you want to trust him with your prayers. If I stop for a minute and I say this, our Father which art in heaven, some of you get lost because you think this, my dad stinks. Or my dad stunk when he was here on this earth. He was a terrible father. If this is what a dad is, if this is what God is, he's like a dad. I didn't even have a dad, or he's a terrible. I mean, you can get lost in that. But if you keep reading, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It qualifies the statement. It reminds me, wait a minute, this dad is holy. This dad is always, only, continuously good. This dad is distinct in his nature. He's different than anyone that I have ever known before. Now all of a sudden it breaks barriers down. Now all of a sudden there is trust that is built in me to continue on with my prayers and my requests. This is the first of requests. Father, hallow your name. I mean, we want to flip-flop this prayer. We want to get to give us this day our daily bread. We want to get to forgive us of our debts. We want to ask God for help with drinking problems and drug problems and pornography and sexual sin and help me to stop doing this and start doing that. I mean, we want to get right into it, but Jesus said, no. The first thing you should be asking of the Father is to hallow his name so that you can trust him more in asking him of the most deep, personal, intimate issues. So let's forget about ourselves in our prayer lives and begin to magnify and worship the Lord in prayer so that we can get our minds off of ourselves and even off of our needs and just give him the glory that is due to his name because of his nature. You see that there? I hope you see that. It's very important to understand. It's an expression Jesus is using here. It's an expression of a burning and deep desire for the honor and glory of God, that there would be that in our prayer lives. That there would be that in our prayer lives. It's a cry, Jesus is saying, that we should cry. It's a cry that is asking to be enabled to give us the ability to ask God to have the unique place which is his nature and his character deserve and demand in our lives. Lord, hallow your name because you deserve this place. You deserve this prominence. You deserve this attention because of who you are. So hallow be your name. That's just a really, really quick rendition as to why we should even ask this. But how do we do it? How do we practically hallow his name? How does this apply to our lives? I think in three ways, in quick summary because of time. I think in application, first of all, to our words. I think in application, second of all, to our worship. And I think in application, thirdly and finally, to our witness. Those three things. Hallowed be your name, first of all, through our words. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, records for us the third of the Ten Commandments given to us by God. You shall not take the Lord your God's name in vain. Jesus says, because the whole Ten Commandments are wrapped up in this prayer, just so you know. You can go and do a search on your own later. Jesus says, when you pray, ask that you would be able to do opposite of what breaking the Ten Commandments would do. The Ten Commandments beckons us not to take the Lord thy God's name in vain. Jesus says, hallow his name. Listen to a couple different translations of Exodus 27 that will help you understand what he's saying. One rendition puts it like this. There is no using the name of God, your God, in curses or silly banner. Oh my God. Right? OMG. I mean, think about all, drop a hammer on your toe. What comes out of your mouth? Many of times, the way that I hear Jesus Christ use or God's name uses with a swear word in between his name. Or after his name or before his name. Or out of frustration, oh my God, right? How many times do you hear people say that? I mean, the Bible says, don't take the Lord your God's name in vain or with silly banter. Don't even just play with it. Don't even curse it. Don't even say, I swear to God. You're not supposed to do it. Don't bring him into it. Another translation says it like this, the Amplified, my favorite, it says this, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That means using it irreverently, in false affirmations or in ways that impugn the character of God. Don't say this, the Lord told me to do this. Don't just throw that around. I hear a lot of Christians, oh, the Lord showed me and told me to do this. Oh, did he? If it's not black and white in scripture that you can use as backing and proof, then I don't think you should really say that at all. I think you should maybe just say, I really feel like the Lord is leading me this way. I don't think that you should bring him into that. It's very dangerous because we are always fallible in our apprehension of God's will. At least I am. There have been so many times where I thought I had heard from the Lord on something and it comes to fruition and I was wrong. Was God wrong or was I wrong? I was wrong. I'm fallible in my apprehension of God's will, so be careful with throwing around, oh, God showed me to do this. Or God told me to do this. God told me to marry you, sister. He did? I don't even think you're cute. Yeah, he told me to marry you. Don't buy into that jerk. God didn't tell him to marry you. But people do this. People do this. I mean, this is an in-depth study of what's being told to us here. Hallow his name. And hallow his name through your words. How do you talk about God? How do you represent God with your language? Hallow God's name with your words. Like I said, he was called YWHW. It was unpronounceable on purpose so that people wouldn't misuse and abuse. It was in the New Testament that they added the vowels so that you could say Yahweh or Jehovah. But it wasn't before that. That these people would just say the name when they referred to God because they wanted to reverence him and honor him and uphold him, rightfully so, in that place of honor with our words. Then you think about our worship. We learned about his name, certainly should motivate you to want to worship him because of his name, because of who he is represented by his name. Our worship, declaring, worship is declaring, Webster's dictionary defines it as this, it's declaring the glory and the awesomeness of something. The Bible commands us to be worshipers of God, declaring how majestic and awesome and how unlike he is than anything or anyone that we know. Worthship is how you could think of it. His worthiness to be praised, to be lifted up, to be exalted. Worship then should be focused on God and not ourselves. Worship then, if we're going to hallow his name, should be thought of like this. Does it please God? Not does it please me? Oh, I'm at church today. We're going to hollow his name. Oh, now I'm not hollowing his name. Not if he's singing that song. I hate that song. I hate that key. I don't sing in that key. I don't get into this type of music. I like more modern music, or I like more old school music, or I like him. Wait a minute. When was it ever about any of us here? Worship is about the Lord. Hollow his name because of who he is, not because of what you feel or what you think or what your commentary is. You hollow his name, you worship his name because his name talks of his nature, which is so distinct and so unique and is so worthy of exaltation. Hollow his name. But to be a worshiper, you have to be, number one, spiritually alive. You ever been in church before and you're sitting next to somebody and they're just giving the death stare to the worship team? Like this? Man. When is this going to end? People that don't know the Lord as their Father in heaven have no interest in worshiping. If you love the Lord and you say that you love the Lord, you will want to worship him. I'm just going to tell you that right now. And if you think that worshiping God is lame, you have no interest in going to heaven then. Because the activity, the primary activity of heaven, I've never been there, but from what I've read in Scripture, the primary thing that we are going to be doing in glory is worshiping at the throne of Jesus. So you have to be spiritually alive to be a worshiper. Otherwise, this whole message is lame to you. Hallow his name. Yeah, okay, I hear who you're saying that he is, but he's not that to me. Exactly. That's why you don't worship him. But when you're spiritually alive, you can't help yourself but to worship him and to hallow his name. So you have to be, number one, spiritually alive. Number two, to be a worshiper, there are three things in my three things, and now the second thing of the three things, this is it. To be a worshiper, not only do you have to be spiritually alive, but you also have to sometimes be spiritually assisted, Ephesians 5 says. What do I mean by that? I mean this, sometimes it is a sacrifice of praise. I mean this, for some of you, it's been a terrible week. For some of you, you've got heavy things ahead of you even today, and your mind is not on Jesus, his goodness, his worthiness, his character, his nature, his attributes, any of it. So you come here really drained, really weary, and then to be exhorted by a pastor that you're supposed to worship, you might think, how am I going to do it? By spiritual assistance, the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5 says this, loosely paraphrased, 5:18 begins by saying, be not drunk with wine, but be being filled with the Spirit of God and sing songs and melodies and praises and hymns. Let them be on your lips to God. How? By the Spirit of God filling you afresh and assisting you, getting you to be able to utter those words that you can't utter in your own strength. So to be a worshiper, you've got to be spiritually alive. You've got to be born again. You've got to be saved. You've got to be redeemed. You've got to be grateful for the blood of the Lamb that has washed you and cleansed you and made you as white as snow. You have to be spiritually assisted sometimes because this life is no joke. And then thirdly and finally, as to the second point of three, you have to be active. You have to be spiritually active. You actually have to open your mouth and pronounce these words and sing these words. And you have to, I believe, sometimes even lift your hands to really get yourself to that focus of I am worshiping God right now. You have to. You've got to clap your hands and make a joyful noise because you're worshiping God. Anybody going to sit there today and watch football like this? He scored. Hey, pass me a piece of pizza. Oh, good, Buffalo just scored. Oh, Eli just threw the ball 20 yards down the field to Sterling Shepard, and he just made a touchdown. Dave's fantasy team just won. No one's going to stand there and do that. No one's going to sit there. I mean, your team scores, especially if you're you diehard Bills fans, and I see some of you in your get-up, and it looks good. Your guys' team is going to win today, I'm telling you. They're going to win. Tyrod is going to go into Baltimore, and he's going to carry that team, lead that team. They're going to win today. And you guys, and I'm sort of one of you, but not fully one of you. I got to clear that up. I'm getting a lot of ridicule here. I love the Bills, but I also love the Giants. And don't give me any hackle about that. It's just the way it is. You guys, you diehard Bills fans that wear the Zumba pants or whatever those things are, and live in your glory days of Jim Kelly shirts and all these other things, listen to me. You guys, hang on a minute here. You guys are going to be putting up Facebook posts, tweets, all sorts of things saying the Bills are going to the Super Bowl this year. It's going to happen. You're going to do it. They're going to win the playoff, and everyone's going to go nuts. New England's done. They're out without Tom Brady for four games. I mean, the whole thing's going to, the trash talking will start today with the Buffalo Bills fans. You guys will go crazy for your team. We'll go crazy for our team. Right? I mean, the Giants, when they whoop the Cowgirls, we're going to go nuts today. We're going to love it. We can't wait for that. I mean, that's just going to happen because that's what you do when you're excited about something. My son had a hat trick again yesterday. So did my nephew. They both scored three goals apiece. Happy five. Nonetheless, they both scored three times. You want to know what me and my brother were doing? Running up and down the sidelines, jumping up and down, high-fiving them, hugging them, giving them money for how many goals they scored. I mean, doing all sorts of things. Why? Because we're into it. In fact, I don't even care about fantasy football anymore. My son plays Happy Five. I don't care. You're into it. You get excited about it. When you love the Lord and you understand who his name is and what that means to you, you worship him. You open your mouth and you sing the words and you raise your hands at times. Not everybody does. I get it. I just don't know how you don't. And you're not bored with it. And you're not looking at the clock and thinking, I hope this part just gets over soon. In fact, when you're really filled with the Spirit, you're thinking this, I could stay here all day and worship him. And some of you do. Some of you are in here again for a second service, and man, do I pity you. Because you have to hear me, not the worship team. That's what I meant. Although second service is usually better, just so you first service people know. You're my rough draft. Second service is my final copy. I think I put them to sleep here. We'll nix that. Okay, they like that. I'll use that. The worst is when I use something I think is good on second service that worked well on first service, and there's no reaction. There's no response. It's like two different churches, really. It is. And it's just me up here talking, talking, talking. Our worship. It has to do with our words this morning. It has to do with all of those things that we described as worship. Listen, please listen to this. But it doesn't have to just do exclusively with when we're in this room singing songs. I want to be clear on that. Martin Luther, he said this in his catechism. He said this, quote, "How is God's name hallowed among us?" Close quote. And he was asking that in the catechism there about actually singing, worshiping. How is it done, he says. And this is his answer. And I quote, he says this, "When both our life and our doctrine are truly Christian," close quote. I like that. Not just our doctrine, which is the teaching of God's word, not just the songs that we sing in church, but when this whole Christian thing transcends these four walls and we go out there and we live as followers of Christ. That is real worship. When we take what we get here and we bring it out the doors out there and live it as a lifestyle, as a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? Thirdly and finally this morning, how do we hallow his name in our words, in our worship, and in our witness? That's a big one. That's a really big one. How we hallow God's name in our witness, honoring God's name in the way that we live. I mean, more is caught than taught. People are watching us. People are looking at us. What type of example are we to our coworkers, to the people we go to school with, to the people in our neighborhood, to our unsaved family members and friends that we are around? How do they perceive God based on our lives? Are we hallowing his name through the way that we live? Is our witness so strong and so attractive that people are inquiring about our Father that is in heaven? Or are we living in such a way that it's such a turnoff? It's super obnoxious. It's super harsh. It's super condemning where people don't even want to know. What is it? How do we live? What do we do? How do we conduct ourselves? What type of error do we give off concerning the Lord? I think there should be a hallowing of his name in our witness, in the way that we go about life, in the way that we talk to each other as family members, the way that we talk about each other when we're not around. How do we hallow God's name? In our witness. Jesus, in John chapter 4, when he was meeting with that woman there in Samaria at the well, after he introduces himself to her and reveals himself to her, He then says there, the Father is seeking not converts, but worshipers. Which means then that there should be such a witnessing done on our ends, in our lives, that we are drawing people, attracting people to become worshipers of our God. So evangelism has no end to it. We're not just trying to get people in here, have me say the Lord's the salvation prayer, which isn't even in Scripture, and having them raise their hand or come to the front and cry and get saved and have this conversion, but that be the end of it. God is continuously seeking people to become more and more of what a true worshiper should be. That's part of hallowing his name. That there is such a witness about us. That there is such a witness that comes from us, that people see God in us and they want to worship our God alongside of us. That's the commission by Jesus in John chapter 4. That, I believe, gives us a little bit of a whetting of our appetite as to what is meant here. And these four little words that we just run through, hallowed be your name. Let's forget about ourselves and our prayer lives, at least in the beginning. Let's forget about ourselves in the beginning of approaching God's throne. Magnify the Lord, which means make him bigger. Bigger than our problems, bigger than our darkness that surrounds us, bigger than our issues, our needs, bigger than everything else. Let's forget about ourselves. Magnify the Lord, make him huge so it blocks out everything else. And let's worship him. Amen?
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek prayer service on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.